This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and he spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be given for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called to him. A crowd was sitting around him, and he said to them, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're of a certain age, you might remember a Paul Simon song from back in the day. It starts out, "I'm sitting in a railway station, got a ticket for my destination." And it goes on, "And every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound." At the end of that song, he kind of re-emphasizes this idea of home. He says, "Like emptiness and harmony, I need someone to comfort me, homeward bound." In describing this song years later, Paul Simon said that he wrote it while he was doing well out on the road and he was traveling. But deep down, he always wanted to be returning home. I can tell you that this idea of being home is powerful. I've experienced it in a couple of different ways. Even after I've been blessed to take some wonderful trip to places like England and Italy and Hawaii, it always, always feels good to come home. At home, you're back with friends, family, and in familiar surroundings. Good to be home. And I saw this firsthand when my dad was being treated for lymphoma. He and my mom lived for almost 3 months at Stanford University while he was being treated. And it was in a very nice facility that they had set up for cancer patients. After his treatment, they released him and Bonnie and I took them home to their own house back in Ferndale. My dad had been through this grueling cancer treatment. And all through it, he had borne up very well. And it was only after we got him through the doors to his own house and he sat back down in his favorite spot that he got emotional. And we all cried. It was so good for him to be home. Along those same lines, I read an article this week. It was a good article. It was interesting. And it relates kind of what we're doing here today. It was called 10 Ways Coming to Church Should Make You Feel Like You're Coming Home. And I like this article, or just rang true to me. I was anxious to see if it does the same with you. So let me share with you a couple or a few of these 10 ways that the article talked about. First one was, my family, which I love, is at home. I should have a church family I love as well. People are happy to see me when I come home. They welcome me. People should be happy to see me when I come to church. They should welcome me to church. Makes sense. I really like this one. I'm loved for who I am at home. They know me. I should be loved for who I am at church. I'm treated with kindness when I come home. I should be treated with kindness when I come to church. I laugh and have fun when I come home. I should be able to laugh and have fun at church. I feel safe and secure when I'm at home. I should feel safe and secure when I come to church. Maybe this last one is the most important. I matter at home. My life should matter when I come to church. My prayer is that at least to some extent, and hopefully to a great extent, all of you can relate to this description of what it's like to be part of the church home that we know as Mountain of Faith. Because today we're blessed to officially welcome, I'll say, 6 new members into this church home, this particular family of faith. I think if you take a good look at our gospel lesson, you'll see that Jesus describes all those who do the will of God, or what we know today as faith. Those are the people that he really understands to be his family. Jesus was having an experience with that family on that day that I think maybe each of us have had at one time or another. He had come home, but not to the home where he had grew up. Jesus came home, not to Nazareth, but to his new home in Capernaum. He'd been traveling around and gathering around him a big group of people. A lot of new friends, but also he had his detractors. The religious leaders of that day didn't approve of him. And as our text says, they began to spread the rumor that he was possessed by the devil. And if you think about it, the way his family reacts, his own family, they kind of get on board with that idea. Our text says because they came to Jesus' new home, they came to restrain him because they had thought that he'd gone out of his mind. In other words, there was a little family conflict. His family was opposing him. Probably what seemed to them to be a very good idea. They wanted to protect him. They thought he'd get into trouble if he got crossways with the religious leaders of the day. But in reality, they were just opposing Jesus nonetheless. And unfortunately, that just puts you on the wrong side of God. Now, you study Mark's gospel a little bit and you come to recognize that this isn't a totally benign opposition that his family has given him here. Because of a little code that Mark includes when he tells this particular story. All through Mark's gospel, he makes use of what we might call an inside-outside literary device. When Jesus is outside in the open, the crowds gather around him, and so do some of the people that oppose him. And he's not shy about speaking against those people that are opposing him. But very often he does it indirectly through the use of parables. He doesn't confront them directly, but he tells these parables as a way of confronting them. But when Jesus moves inside, into someone's home, the whole mood changes. He's safe. He speaks plainly. He often describes to his closest followers what these parables that he spoke outside really mean. And that's exactly what's going on in our gospel lesson today. Jesus had moved inside. And his family, his blood relations, did you pick this up? They're outside. They're calling for him to come out so they can restrain him. What's interesting to me is that when the insiders alert Jesus that his family is calling for him, he does something totally remarkable. He goes against everything, the tradition and the norms of that day that put loyalty to family and clan ahead of almost everything. He just kind of throws that out the window. And he literally redefines family in this passage. Now, according to Jesus, family is going to have nothing to do with an accident of birth. It has nothing to do with your clan or your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents. According to Jesus, real mother, brother, and sisters had nothing to do with bloodlines. They have everything to do with faith. Just let that sink in for a minute. This is huge. According to Jesus, family now has everything to do with knowing and doing the will of God. Now, isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say that it has to do with having an intellectual grasp of the deep concept of God? No, he talks about doing God's will. He's talking about having the kind of relationship with God that allows that relationship to affect the way we live. Now, according to Jesus, the idea of family transcends bloodline. Now his mother, brothers, and sisters, his family, will be defined as those who make it their business to know and do God's will. Today we talk about people who have the integrity. It just happens to be one of our core values as a congregation, who have the integrity to actually live according to their faith. Which brings us to exactly where we are today. Today we're blessed to receive 6 new members into this community of believers, this family of faith that is Mountain of Faith Lutheran Church. And to me at least, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I don't think so. This event fits very well with what, not just what Jesus was talking about in our gospel lesson, but also with what Paul has to say in our second lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says that as the church grows, as grace extends to more and more people, he says, thanksgiving also increases, all to the glory of God. And because of that, we do not lose heart. The family of faith grows. Grace extends to more and more people. Thanksgiving increases. Lives are changed. And God is glorified. So we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart as individuals. We do not lose heart as a congregation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, living in faith, knowing and doing God's will, is not to glory in our own success. It's not to hide from our own sin and weakness. Being part of a church isn't certainly trying to match our lives to the culture around us. It's saying something different. To be a real follower of Jesus, to be part of God's family, at the end of the day is just to not lose heart. And by making a public affirmation of their baptisms today, Andy and Damien, Catherine and Jackie, and Lawrence and Jarence officially join themselves to this family of faith, though we do not lose heart. However powerful in the world the crafty serpents may be, Satan, Beelzebub, the voices of the culture around us, however powerful those may be, Jesus stays true to his promise to build his church, The gates of hell will not prevail against it. The family of faith is strong and it grows. So we do not lose heart. Amen.